Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. You're listening to the Uranus Athens Show live here on Blog Talk Radio, powered by eAstrologer.tv. I'm Ernesto. I'm your host, and I'm here with Veretta. We're going to be doing some terrific live re-Uranian astrology and psychic readings for you all tonight. We've actually changed our time slot. We've had some changes in availability. So the current schedule that we're going to be doing right now is 12 to 2 p.m. noon. That'll be Mountain or Arizona time, depending on where you are, wherever you're at. And also, we're going to be switching to Wednesdays. We're going to go back to that time slot from 7 to 8 p.m. in the evenings. So that's going to be our new schedule. Just wanted to let everybody know that we're going to be doing that going forward. So here we go. Now, Veretta, are you there on the line with me? Can you hear me right now?
I am here. Yes, we are. Good.
Perfect. All right. I just wanted to welcome you to the show. And for everybody who's watching out there on our Facebook or YouTube streams, if you'd like to get a free reading, please call the show directly. We're not really paying too much attention to those chats. That's going to be area code 563-999-3070. And, of course, when you do call the show, be sure to mute your YouTube or streaming audio so that way we don't get stuck into a feedback loop. Now, I think that pretty much takes care of, like, all of our admin stuff. I do want to apologize to everybody that I got off to sort of a last-minute thing here. Normally, I announce the show the day before, but I've just been so caught up in everything else and falling kind of far behind on my own personal work. So we'll see what happens with the show today. Keep our fingers crossed. You know, we are in the process of restructuring a lot of things and sort of how we do things in terms of the conversations that we have. And I'm really excited for the direction that we're going to be taking with this in the near future. So you're going to start to notice a lot of changes that we'll be going through on the air here. Now, Veretta, before we, you know, hopefully get off and take some live calls tonight, what are the things that we need to be aware of this week?
Okay, well, this week is more of the same. It's very similar to something that we had in July. I don't know exactly what that is in reference to, but it seems to be like it's going to be laborious, if you will, not necessarily treacherous, but it seems to me just like shoving a rock uphill all week is the theme. Now, there is a sense of giddy, kind of, I guess, if you will, behind that, but I'm not sure what that pertains to, and honestly, I feel like that has to do more with, like, a holiday feel. People are getting very celebratory in their actions and mannerisms. So there's a lot of that going on this week. So basically, with the Mercury retrograde, what that boils down to is, don't take things serious. Don't start anything if you don't have to. Definitely stay in the game, but take it slow and easy. Don't push yourself thinking you got to rush to the end, because right now the end isn't in sight. So we don't know what's coming at us here, but it just seems to be more of the same.
It really sort of is. But the thing that's important for right now is just that the energy is so much heavier mentally because that Mercury planet is in a retrograde motion. So where a lot of people are wanting to, you know, jump off of a bridge and beat their head against the wall, that's all to be expected. The only thing is just that don't let it hit you or harder than what it normally should. You know, it's because that impact is just greater for this time. So I'm aware of this, and this is one of those things that I just have to walk away from the things that I am not in control of, that I cannot resolve, because they're, you know, it's sort of like, why are you setting yourself up to fail? You're just going to end up hurting somebody at the end of the day, if not myself. So it's not worth it. Walk away. It'll be fine. Come back to it in a few weeks. You know, one of the biggest things that I've really noticed, like, my dad is one of these types of people that everything has to be done right now, exactly right now, in this moment. And my astrology teacher was the same way, that we would have a lot of conversations about the way that things were headed in the world, or, you know, what people are doing, or even, you know, in the personal console. And it was always, there was always this sense of, like, burning immediacy. Like, if you don't do this right now, then Rome is going to burn down and your entire life is going to fall apart. I'm not of that belief at all. I'm always of the belief that there is more time, because there truly is, until we run out of it and then we're not here anymore. Obviously, then we don't get it back. But a lot of the, you know, like day-to-day just sort of inane behaviors that get us so worked up, that can all really just be put off. It's not really needed. It's just an extra layer of complication that we just don't need to deal with, because so many of us just get so wrapped up, and it needs to be like a right now thing, because that's just unfortunately the culture that we live in, that we've gotten used to the sense of, you know, immediate satisfaction. And if we don't get that, then we have to do everything that we can to make that possible. So it's really sort of a difficult thing for people to understand, like, well, we got to just take our time here. So Mercury retrograde is definitely one of those times when, at least for me anyway, I have to say, so these things I cannot handle right now. I'll come back to them in a few weeks, and I'll just recharge my batteries in the meantime. Remember, all of those words that begin with R-E, like recharge, renew, review, et cetera, those words are all your friend. So do those activities, do those actions for the next couple of weeks here.
Yeah. And, you know, a lot of times, too, when people aren't in a position to understand that their conditioning, how they lived, the drama they experienced and survived through, whatever that experience was, that also presses them to feel like, I got to do this now. I got to have this now. And you're absolutely right that the bottom line is, no, no, you don't. You really can take it slow, take your time, be methodical, don't worry about, you know, it's current, it's going to stay that way. You don't have to rush through it. Enjoy this opportunity that you have.
Right.
People
and that's,
feel like that, if they don't take advantage of it now, they lose it. And that's not the case.
I mean, but what's interesting, though, is that, like, in the context of astrology, like, well, tell somebody that, you know, like, this is your opportunity and you're not going to get it again for a while. But, you know, that's referring more to, like, an actual event. So remember that there's a lot of things, there's a lot of momentum that that happens building up to that. Remember, like, you don't just wake up one day and then suddenly have cancer. That there were a lot of things that you were doing along the way that would cause something like that. Or you don't just suddenly wake up one day and your wife decides that they're going to leave you. There was probably a lot of writing on the wall that you just chose to ignore. So this is a really important distinction here that, like, when we advise people on the air here in the show, that we're telling them that, you know, you have this window of opportunity here based on your own actions and what you're doing, but that's just because your actions have created this. So you can jump on this if you'd like, or you can just choose not to do that through your own actions too. So that's totally up to you. And I've really had an interesting experience recently, more with the alchemy in our work and, you know, what we do here with Uranian astrology, that you really do have the potential to manifest things that you really want that are right for you, but are above and beyond, you know, I guess the matrix of your chart, meaning that, like, the things that you actually manifest in your life are of the utmost positive vibration. Because, you know, that's just sort of the energy that I'm putting out or you're putting out into the world. So you can have these other things. So when we say that, like, this is a window of opportunity, that's just for right now. But it is going to – you will be presented with other ones. But this one that's happening right now in this exact moment, this one may not come around again for a while. So it's not to say that it's not happening ever, ever again. It's just saying that this particular instance in this scenario, that's going to walk away from you. That window will close if you don't pay attention to it. So that's when we say, that's where the sense of immediacy comes from in our work. When we talk to people about what's coming down the turnpike in the future is, you know, this is the story that you can resolve or you cannot resolve it. Or, you know, there may not even be a story to tell because you just haven't generated those actions or generated that energy through your own actions. It all depends. Veretta, is that making sense to you? Can you follow along with that?
Absolutely, yes. I'm understanding you're doing well. Yep. Absolutely.
Okay, great. So let me see here. We have Patricia here on the line who just now joined us. Hi, Patricia, are you there? Can you hear me?
Yes, I'm here.
Perfect. All right, I got you. I got your chart up now. Patricia, would you like a general reading today, or do you have a question about an issue?
Let's do a general reading.
Okay. All right, let's go for it then. Veretta, take it away.
All right, Patricia. see what we've got going on here today. Well, you're feeling pretty status quo. I get a little bit of hassle, kind of tension, struggle, energy, that pertains to something that's not really always on your mind, but when it does come to mind, then it brings you down. And I would say your energy can get so low that it could possibly make you ill. I mean, it would probably mess with you metabolically enough that if you're doing it on a regular basis, it would slow you down health-wise. I don't feel like you've got anything coming up that you need to worry about, but I feel like you already have some things going down that you're going to need to continue to take care of. And it isn't necessarily a bad thing. It's just a anxiety, like daunting. I don't want to do this. I hate this. I'd rather scrub the floor before I do this kind of thing. The feeling is, though, that so there's a multiplicity in this. When I'm looking at whatever these things are, or this thing is, there's a multiple factor that's a contributor to when and how and what will happen when things take place. But what I feel like is all ultimately down to the same goal. Goal being probably either upgrading where you live or moving, literally. And I would say at some point in time, you are going to see that take place. Don't get your hopes dashed thinking, well, it's taking too long, or the economy just seems to suck every time I turn around, something happens, and now because I'm ready, the life around me is not. So whatever this is, I want to tell you that when the time is right, then everything will line up. All the planets and all the stars and everything, all the doors will open and windows and everything that have been previously shut will be available for you to take that advantage of. So just be sure that, A, you don't give up so much that you use whatever resources you would need to do that with, thinking, well, it's never going to happen. I might as well use what I got. Just be aware that you do have, there's a point to keeping that secure, so keep it that way, even if it doesn't look like it's going to be utilized right now. It's not something you can replace easily or anytime soon, and it takes a while to build up, so don't just keep it. And then there's other things. There's people in your background I feel you would have questions about. Possibly a very insignificant something. You may not feel insignificant, but that may be coming up. I don't feel like the need to tell you much about that is relevant. But having that been said, I don't know what kind of question either, supposed to or not, though. So we're going to hope that he's already got something worked up. Other than that, Patricia, did you have anything to ask about that?
Well, yes, I do. I am dealing with, I plan to move to New Mexico, and I plan to do that in November, and I've been working on basically in one aspect, you know, getting the employment that I can have some money to show to put on my application. And yes, I know money does not come from a job only. But I'm working on some other plans. I started about a month ago creating my first digital product, the digital e-course, and first time doing any of that. So, I mean, that's a long-term project. But some other avenues that I can make money, earn, and then it'll create revenue for me, that I'm working on as well. And I'm dealing with a health, chronic health matter, that I'm not doing anything conventional, meaning surgery, more surgery or anything like that. And I just have to increase what I'm doing, the alternative, and obviously what I can afford, which is I'm doing it basically through, you know, prayer and food, diet, the energy work, beliefs, you know, and then getting rid of a lot of the toxic, negative people, energies in this city that I'm living in, which will contribute, which has contributed so much of a lot of the stress I've been going through, but also getting healthier mentally, emotionally, and preparing to live in this new state, which, you know, I'm being pulled and called there, I would believe, by my ancestor or someone in the spirit world, and then to prepare to do what I am going to prepare to do. And financially, I've got to really prepare for my retirement, to create one, and creating those investments. And I'm just basically starting at zero. And so I'm not 20 years old, and I'm, you know, close to retirement age. But obviously I'm not going to do that for a few years yet. And so, yes, I've got much, you know, on my mind. And just really just keeping in the now, focused, keeping myself, you know, healthy, loving myself, you know, continue to do my practices of self-love, self-care, healing, health and wellness, you know, creating that, you know, the finances, the money. And
so I want to look at your health just for a second, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I feel like there will definitely be a point in time where you will need a surgical procedure to cut out whatever dormant seed, if you will. I don't know what else to call it, an encapsulated little nugget, some kind of something that does need to come out. So just be aware, once all your healing is, so your alternative stuff will be good, but at some point, to keep from having to continue to take this protocol approach where your health is concerned, you're going to have some little symptoms removed. So that's down the road, and it's something that will absolutely validate that all your hard work paid off. And now once that part is over, then the healing issue on that level is through. You've learned what you needed to learn, and you're continuing to mull it over. And this protocol that you're having to take with this type of healing, it's a little bit daunting, and it's serious to do. I mean, it's work. It's work. So you're doing well. Now, I don't know if Ernesto can find anything more about that, or maybe he's got another question, but let's go to him and see what he can tell us about you.
Sure. Okay. So, Patricia, quick question. I know you've told us before about, you know, you working on, like, some new educational materials. What is exactly the nature of that project or, you know, that curriculum?
Basically, I'm working on figuring it out, what audience it could, you know, serve and help. And I'm basically using me as a prototype, meaning my experiences and learnings and from alternative medicine, energy medicine, personal development, when it was called New Age. And now I'm learning about ancestral, communicating with the ancestors, ancestral healing. So I wanted to encompass all that, but to gear toward women, and women from who are basically might be midlife, but maybe in their 30s to in their 50s, who have just, you know, they had a pause, they had a stop, And it could have been probably when the last 2 years, when that pause started globally, that, you know, they need to reset their lives, you know, emotionally, mentally, physically. And I now it will probably change over time, but that will probably be the basis in that to help them get clearer on by using those, you know, tools, for lack of a better word. And it's been on my mind to, I wanted to create a digital product. And yes, I mean, for me to create an asset, one, and to create a revenue source.
I feel like that, you know, as far as you were talking about earlier about you're going to be relocating and you're thinking about, you know, career options and you want to get all of that stuff ready, where you would really benefit right now actually is to be a teacher. So if you're thinking about anything in education or if that's ever something you've given a thought to, you would really benefit from looking at something like that. The reason why is that the planets that we use for something like teaching, for example, which is going to be for moving, that's going to be Aries, Saturn, along with Jupiter. I'm looking specifically about moving, so I need to line up that Jupiter in its own midpoint here. And when I can do that, then I can confirm that, you know, the possibility of moving looks good. But either way, what we can say is when we ask the question about moving in your chart, what does that look like? The fact that you have this planet here, Admetos, that shows up on this green square that I'm going to be drawing, or not square, yeah, the green square that I'll be drawing on the screen here in just a moment, that this is, you know, like a combination that's going to be Aries, Saturn, Admetos. So this is going to mean you as a teacher, and the fact that it shows up there with your Mars, that just further supports the fact that this is really something to do with your work. And Sun Jupiter is right next to it. So this is you being successful with it. So I really feel like that, you know, this educational thing that you're thinking about, that this is probably going to turn into like a pretty big thing. And I don't think you understand this quite yet. So I would really pour your heart and soul into that. As far as like that, the work is concerned, if you need like an actual job on payroll though, you know, then I would say, yeah, line up something and, you know, teaching or education, you know, to be a front office, you know, like worker to do, I don't know, attendance records, whatever it is that floats your boat, something in education, you would just really benefit from that. Specifically to be a teacher, that would be, you know, where you would find the most success and probably the most fulfillment and enjoyment. But if you just wanted to look for teaching jobs in general in all educational fields, then that would be the environment that you want to get into.
Well, yeah, I also have, I'm moving forward and becoming a coach. Because usually from what I've been studying and researching, it, you know, most people, no matter what the industry is, you know, they are, you know, they may be an entrepreneur, they might, you know, be an affiliate marketer, or they might be an astrologist, but there's teaching in some aspect. And so and that was the coaching is, you know, it's the way to, you know, educate the person, your audience, you know, inform. And so, yeah, that's definitely, you know, a plan of action for me. But as for the traditional route, no, I've just had some negative experiences with these universities and the community college route. So now I'm doing it, you know, in a different format using, you know, the online platforms, because it will probably be online, probably through group coaching, and some, you know, one-to-one. And, you know, basically, just like with it all, you know, building it up from ground zero and, you know, learning this, you know, the right way as I go.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think that this is going to be the area that you're going to have some success with. And so what I'd like to see you doing, Patricia, and this Mercury retrograde influence that we're in right now. See, what's interesting is the fact that we have a planet in retrograde, which is out here in transits in that third ring. And then I'll mark that in black so it's a little bit easier to see. And then you see that on the first ring of information, that's your natal chart, you've got this other blue Mercury that's showing up there. So you've got two of them that's already, you know, doing their own thing. So this is going to suggest that, you know, like you've got some really heavy Mercury stuff that's going on right now. All of, you know, like your IT-related matters with this project right now may seem like it's on fire. And it's just, you know, you're just, you're like me. You're banging your head against the wall, like, why is nothing working? Well, that's because you need to take a break. So this might be a time where, you know, if you're just feeling that it's too frustrating and it's just amping me up too much, then walk away from it. Come back to it in another couple of days or in a few weeks when once this influence is over. But I think the move itself is going to be okay. And I don't think that, you know, it's once you find the job that you really need, like, to have the numbers that, you know, apartments or where living applications just require for all of those financial records. Once you get that, it's going to be a very long-standing job. So you probably even want to do something that's like part-time, you know, that's just going to fit into your schedule. Because if you do that, like a part-time job, that would definitely be something that you're going to keep for a long time that won't go drop off. And that'll at least give you that stable income so you don't have to eat toast all week.
All right. The lady, your partner, just mentioned with the chronic health matter that I might have to look at surgery. I really didn't want to do that because I've had a lumpectomy, and and definitely not with this surgeon here, because I believe a third of my breast tissue was gone, and I mean, I don't believe she should have removed all of that breast tissue, and, you know, she has not been supportive. Imagine she's the one for, you know, chopping off, you know, the breast, blasting it, you know, with radiation, and I just put the brakes, you know, because I will not have anything else to do with her. And, of course, I can't prove that's what she did, you know, cutting out more breast tissue than she did. Because when I got a second opinion from another doctor in a different hospital system, but she's what really has been in, it keeps coming up my thoughts. Wow, she really took out a lot of breast tissue. Now, this is another doctor, an oncologist, who knows because she's done that type of surgery. And when she said that, now this has been, well, it's coming up on 5 years when I had the initial diagnosis, but when she said that, and recently, you know, last month I had another biopsy, and they're showing something, that there's something there. But, yeah, I have not ever forgotten, you know, the second doctor's, you know, and I'm going, but as I said, I can't prove that she was being a, you know, she took out that excessive breast tissue on purpose. But I believe that. So as I said, you know, I'm really, you know, yes, this is my number one focus, obviously, to keep myself calm and to keep myself rational and grounded because, you know, not radiation or chemo, you know, cures, or it doesn't cure at all, but it can be, it wreaks havoc and weakens the immune system. And, of course, I know this because my mother was diagnosed with ovarian cancer, and she got the chemo, and obviously she was in more an advanced stage. But, you know, within 6 months, you know, she was dead.
So you're just wanting, you know,
I think also that you're not going to have to deal with what I was telling you about needing a Patricia. I don't think it's there. I think it's long after you leave there.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah.
And
so
that
anyway,
may be what gives you the courage to go ahead and you know, take different steps. And then once that's done, it's done. You don't have to deal with it anymore.
Right. Yeah. I mean, yeah.
But
so,
I would have to tend to agree with you that you got a raw deal from your first surgeon. But hang in there, and when you get to somebody that you can trust, it says to you, yep, looks like, you know, we may need to just to be sure to take all that out and your drama is over, then you'll know that's the time. It's time.
Yeah, because I have uterine fibroids, and I mean, I've had them for years, and I mean, they're putting a slight pressure on my bladder, but I don't think that it's stopping me. So I probably would want to have not that surgery, I mean, just to remove them, but obviously I'm not pressing for that either.
Yes, not right away. Well, just stay status quo. Moving forward with what you're doing is what your best bet for healing will be. The type of teaching and the support and the coaching you're going to be doing is your best type of healing that you can receive. Because once I had my mentor told me many years ago, you can't run water through a hose without getting the hose wet. Once you start doing your healing, even though it's through the guys of teaching, you're going to get support. You're going to get support for your own health through that.
All right.
Patricia, just wanted to add here. I'm looking at your chart. If you can catch our YouTube stream, I added some orange circles here on the screen. Now, this is in relation to that orange dot that I put there at 4612. Now, that basically just means that we're looking at the midpoints of the two green dots. The two green dots each represent separate questions having to do with your health. The one that's marked as Sun Pluto at 2732, that's just going to be the general state of your health. And the one at 6435 Mars Uranus, that's going to have to do with surgery. So when we look at the midpoint of both of that, how does surgery affect your physical health, right? That's what we're looking at here. Then that question brings up those orange circles. So that's Sun Jupiter. So that means that your body heals, your body will prevail, you will get better. You know, you will feel great. So I do absolutely agree that there is some radiation stuff that you're going to be looking at here. But I do think at the same time that while there's always, you know, an adjustment period, like we always talk about here on the show, the end result will absolutely be worth it. You're going to be really pleased with, you know, how much better you feel after doing, you know, that type of a treatment. And I also do agree that, you know, the past surgery that you did have, that was probably botched up in some way. So it was wise of you to get a second opinion to get away from that death trap, because they were just going to do terrible things anyway.
Yeah. All right. So I'm like,
that's going to be something that you're going to want to take care of, I think, before you get out of town. Veretta, do you agree with that?
Well, no, only because she needs a different set of eyes to look at her. And what she's gone to now, it's either mandated that's what she thought she was supposed to do. So at this point, she's not going to get a different set of eyes unless she gets a different insurance and a different set of doctors available to her. And I think this woman was cocky. I think she thought that she was doing what was right for what was expected. And so because she's supposedly a good doctor, people would look at Patricia and think, you're not right in the head. You got a pretty good lady working on you and you don't appreciate it. But yeah, I do appreciate it, but I don't think she was the best that day. So it's just fair that she goes somewhere else and gets it done. And I think also that will also give her a new opportunity for a different type of healing. So I think getting out of there is a better bet for getting someone that will actually work with her on her behalf with what she wants to have done, not just think they know better than her and do it their way. And that's exactly what took place.
And Patricia, just a piece of life advice as somebody who's dealt a lot with, you know, bad healthcare and, you know, people who think that they are entitled to a paycheck when they're really not. there are so many providers out there that, that would love to take your insurance dollars, you know, that you don't have to necessarily go back to somebody just because you've established care with them. That, you know, like I'm really sort of a dragon when it comes to healthcare quality, and I let people know this. And so, you know, like you don't have to put up that if somebody's just not paying attention or addressing the issue, then find somebody else. You know, like there's somebody else out there who's probably much better. And it's just, and, you know, still needs a paycheck and would love to take your insurance dollars. So avoid the sellout hacks, you know, that just don't care, because those are the people that do damage. And they think that they can get away with everything because they're arrogant or cocky or cute or whatever it is. And then that's when people get hurt. So just remember that, you know, you do always reserve the right as the patient to scream and, you know, let people know that you aren't being taken care of or that you don't feel safe.
Right, right. And I mean, like I said, because I am on paper, you know, a person living in poverty, because I get Medicaid. And with that, you know, if I were working, I can only earn X amount of dollars to keep that Medicaid. And like I said, it's accepted at all the hospital systems. So, I mean, I've already gone to two different hospital systems. And the third one is not going to, they're going to tell me the same thing. They're going to want to do the same thing, you know, radiation, you know, and the surgery.
Okay.
And they might have, you know, some alternative options, but I'm going to have to pay out of my pocket, and I don't have all those monies to do that. You know, that would be nutritional. That would be, vitamins, my research is vitamin C, IV, some other types of therapies that I believe are valid, because I've looked at out of the country as well, you know, in Mexico, but, you know, nothing is guaranteed, you know, because you have
Patricia,
to be careful.
Have you done body testing on yourself through all of this?
You mean muscle testing?
Right, muscle testing. You know, like asking yourself, do I need this? Does this work for me? Like, those, that's always so valid whenever you're about to look out all these options.
Yeah, I haven't done that.
I've really gotten into the habit of doing that recently, especially when it comes to self-care options, because it's like my body already knows if this is good or bad for me, and then that way it tells me, all right, so these are the things that I can keep working on, and these are the ones that I can avoid.
Right, right. Yeah, I hadn't done that on my body, because I'll do it, you know, either standing up, you know, and obviously if I go forward, that means a yes. If I'm going backwards, that's a no.
You can also do it with choosing doctors, Patricia. You can do it with choosing doctors. You can run names through you. And I encourage muscle testing as well, because that personalizes exactly what that individual needs to know. And it's not just a holistic answer of, oh, yes, that's good for you. Well, yeah, it might not be. So you should do exactly in the manner that Ernesto is suggesting, with everything that comes in front of you, including your teaching, your coaching, and what you want to do to make an impact. So
right.
Maybe take a little bit of time, put a list together, and just go down that list and think about all the things that you're just really not sure about. How to pursue, how to, you know, what's the best way to approach is that gives you the best bang for your buck. And do it for just anything, actually, until you really get the handle on how beneficial it can be that you can get these things answered. Take a little bit of that worry off of your mind when you're just really not sure what the next, you know.
That does make sense. And and I'll start doing that when I hang up from you all. Because the body, you know, is smart and intelligent, and it knows what's best.
And remember that the one thing you can never get back is time.
Exactly. I mean, the time I've given to so many people, you know, my energy helping them, And, you know, they didn't appreciate it. You know, they profited from me in one form or the other, be it money or my time or my attention, didn't have the nerve to complain or mock me or laugh at me. So I released the anger and just released them and just keep moving forward. And I just basically I keep to myself and I go out, you know, when there is a doctor's or dentist appointment, when I have to go to the store, and I keep most people while I'm here out of my life. I keep them out of my apartment because it's just a different negative energy with most of them, and I've just had enough. So yeah, I'm protecting my peace, protecting my energy.
For you.
Yeah, but thank you. Yeah, to do the muscle testing for everything else, yes. Simple enough, but I just didn't.
And always remember, you know, Patricia, here's an important distinction about muscle testing. Always remember when you begin it to say name out loud, you know, say, my name is Patricia. Always let, you know, your body, the spirits, whoever know that, you know, that who like what is what needs to be connected to.
Right. Okay.
So always, you know, just always just state that out loud, who you are, and make yourself known, and then do your muscle testing and say, you know, is so-and-so good for me? Is XYZ good for me? Keep doing this, and you'll be really pleased with the results. I've started to get into the habit of it. And there are even other methods that you can use that use your hands, so you don't have to necessarily get up out of your chair and, you know, risk falling, that kind of thing. Loretta could probably tell you more about that, but there are things that you can do with your hands and fingers.
Okay. All right.
But whatever you're comfortable with, go ahead and utilize it. That's your best bet.
All right. Well, thank you very much.
It was great to have you on the show, Patricia.
All right. Thank you. Have a good day.
Thanks. I wish you same. Be sure to give us a call back. Let us know how it turns out. Take care. Until next time.
Thank you. I will.
All right. Until next time. Good night. Okay, and we are going to take our next caller here from area code 480. Hi, you're on the Uranus Happen Show. May I have your name and date of birth?
Oh, hi. My name's Robin, and it's September 27, 64.
Robin, all right, and you're new to our show, is that right?
I am, yes.
Okay, perfect. All right. And that was 7/28/64?
No, 9/27/64.
1964. And what time were you born?
No, 6/4.
6/4, yes. What time were you born?
8:37 p.m.
Okay, got it. And Robin, where were you born?
I was born in Massachusetts. The town is Falmouth, F-A-L-M-O-U-T-H.
Got it. And Robin, would you like a general reading or do you have a question about an issue today?
I'm thinking of taking a new job and actually moving back to the East Coast from I'm living in Arizona. Not ready to move yet, but it's just something I have in mind.
Okay.
Yeah.
Great. Yeah, let's take a look. Retta, take it away.
All right. So as you're talking, this is the first thing I'm going to tell you is if you go to the East Coast, you'll be back. That's not the end of the line. There'll be some other place or destination that you'll eventually head for.
Okay.
You may know that, but the reason I say that is don't farm and everything you own and invest in going east thinking you're never going to return or you're never going to go anywhere else. That's just not going to be the case. So now, having said that, we roll right into, am I going to get a job? Will I make it? Is there something that's there for me? All those answers are yes, because immediately I heard, you'll be back. So that says to me that you're going to make the move. You're going to do what you want to do or do what you need to do. And honestly, what the real bottom line of that is, you're going to learn what you need to know, and then you'll be moving on. You'll be doing something else, or you'll be starting something new.
Okay.
And whether that's through the job ending or finding someone, I think more specifically, I don't know. But the job will definitely end. So I'm really hoping you're not in a relationship already, because it may be very disappointing to the individual you're with now that you may be running into somebody new.
I'm not in a relationship.
I didn't think so. But what I really get out of this more than anything else, Robin, is this is for you to learn. This is for you to learn something that you need to know. And once you need to know it, and it, or once you learn what you need to know, and it's ingrained in you, then you're kind of on to then the next direction, which really is closer to the happily ever after, and what you want to do.
Okay.
So I would say maybe Ernesto can give you a timeline, because I've got a lot of gray in this, which says there's a lot of information, a lot of decisions that need to be made prior to end result, result kind of thing. So
yeah.
I'm going to let Ernesto run with this and see what else he can do for you.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, sure, Robin. Hi, I'm taking a look at your chart right now to see what else is going on. So there's kind of two questions that we're asking, really, is what we're doing. So you're wanting to know a job about the career, right? Like, because that's really why you called us. But you're also wanting to know a question about a move, because like there's sort of like two things happening. The career involves the move, so we have to evaluate both of those separately to really kind of get a full idea of what's happening in your chart here. So, you know, Veretta, when she was talking in the beginning about, you know, the job, that's something that's just going to be temporary, that it's not real, that you're going to end up coming back or moving to someplace else, I kind of agree with that. And I think that the reason why specifically has to do with the fact that I think you're going to fall in love. I think you're going to meet somebody as a result of this new position. And that's going to end up triggering some other type of move. So I think that was what Veretta was picking up on there, was that there's a new love interest that's going to be coming into this for you. And this is somebody that, you know, is more of like a, I don't want to say a marriage partner, but it's going to feel like that. It's going to be a serious bond. You know, it's not something that's, it's way more than just casual or, you know, just friendly. This is like a legitimate relationship. So this is going to be something that's coming into you. And I think that's also going to, that the job ending and the relationship coming in, those two events are going to be very similar to each other. And I do think that the job is going to end. And the reason why I think that specifically is because you've got Admeto showing up in a double pattern here. So that's going to be a planet that's going to trigger endings. So the fact that you've got this showing up like that in this arrangement, this is telling me that, you know, there's something that, that, you know, that the job is going to go away, but it's not really going to matter to you so much, because you're going to have somebody new that you're going to meet in a love relationship, and they're doing their own thing anyway. So they're probably going to have some ideas about, you know, like, hey, would you like to move to this location, you know, after the job is over, and you're down for anything, because, you know, you don't really have any plans for yourself at the moment, except to be with that guy or with that person, whoever they are.
Oh, interesting. Yeah. Relationship wasn't focused. I just felt like it maybe soon, but I wasn't quite there. But I, so when one thing I just want to clarify, so I am waiting for a new job, and I would be ending the one that I'm on. And I intuitively kind of thought, if I do get this new job, it's an opportunity to meet new people. So maybe that ties in.
Does the job have anything to do with like IT or like future technologies?
No, it's auditing. I'm in the insurance industry. So it's moving away from being a claims examiner to being more overseeing other people, what they're doing. Not quite supervisory, but sort of, making sure people aren't making mistakes, but it's not,
okay.
Yeah, no, not IT. Specifically, but I will be using a computer, obviously.
Right, obviously, because everything is, you know, that's everything these days. Let me see, what is this? So, okay, perfect. So, now, I do think that, you know, you are going to end up in the new relationship when you come there. So, or once you, shortly after you get there into the position, that there's going to be a new relationship. When we look at the question about moving, which is the next thing that you really want to know about, I feel like the biggest obstacle is going to be that there's going to be like some contract. contractual weirdness in wherever you end up going to. You know, like you really want to make sure that everything about the rental or purchase agreement, that that's all, you know, something that you are on board with, because I get the sense that like there's really something that could just go wrong there in a bad way, and then that totally upsets your living situation and possibly jeopardizes the job as well.
Well, okay. Yeah, it's not set in stone. My home is back east, and I've been in Arizona for 10 years, and I have two adult children that are pretty settled back east and two grandkids. So, you know, part of me is like, well, I guess I should, I love Arizona. I like the weather, but part of me is like, it's almost a should in my head. I should go back home. You know, I want to be closer to my grandkids. But it's just been sort of in the air in my head. I haven't made it concrete.
You're really just not sure about it. Yeah, I don't think it's going to be the kittens and rainbows that you want it to be, or that it turned out in your head. I think that, you know, you're going to really sort of feel sort of stuck, and it's going to be, it's going to create regret pretty fast. The reason I say that is it's like you've got this Hades and this Hades that are both coming down to that Saturn. So those two planets together, that's just going to mean prison, jail, very difficult energies. And, you know, and the fact that, you know, this is something that you would do by your own actions to move out there, that it would become a self-imposed jail that, you know, that you could get out of if you, and if you weren't in that environment. So I think that, you know, you moving, that it could create, you know, an environment where you just don't really, it's not really what you want. It just feels kind of like I'm really stuck here, and I wish it wasn't like this, but it is. And I could make it go away, but I feel sort of obligated, you know, to live in this situation because this is what I need to do. So, I mean, this is sort of one of those scenarios where I feel like that if you move there, then that's really going to be where, like, where I was picking up, you're going to come back, because you're just going to say, oh, this isn't what I wanted. This isn't what I signed up for. Let's try something else. And I think that's what Veretta was picking up, that you're gonna come back. That's the energy there, is because that's not really a story that you're supposed to have. Like, I mean, really ideally what we'd be looking at with something like this is are the grandkids that we're talking about here, are they pretty rowdy? Are they kind of rough?
They're toddlers. I mean, one's a baby and one's a toddler. I wouldn't call them rough. I mean, one of them did live out here in Arizona for her first 2 years, and then my daughter and her husband moved back east where his family is. So, yeah, you know, I don't know if I could call them rough, really.
Well,
one's a girl.
Well, I feel like that if you were there, you would be providing like some type of like responsibility lessons. You know, like they're kind of just left to be feral, for the lack of a better word. And for you to make it, you know, more pleasant and enjoyable, you know, you kind of have to instill some lessons here, you know, that they're just not getting in their own environment. So that would be a major theme that you would be working with if that was something that you were interested in. So I think that, you know, that moving back home, that the family aspect of it, I think, is just going to be quite challenging. Work-wise, I think you're going to be fine. I think you're going to like the work stuff. But the family stuff, not so much. The work is going to be much more what you want. So you might just be committed to that, and then that becomes your prison.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Maybe you're picking up on the difficulty that I feel with my daughter's in-laws. I had thought to myself, well, if I move out there, I would love to be around my grandkids, but I thought I might be stepping into a hornet's nest.
It's more
my
like
daughter
a dragon's den is what I would call it.
Oh, is that what you're picking up? Yeah, my daughter's mother-in-law is difficult, and I didn't want to get in the middle of it, although I'd like to be supportive for her. Yeah, there's some difficulty there. But I felt like, well, she needs me. So, yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think, you know, like if you do it for the work, that's really going to be the real reason why you do it. You know, like for the other people involved, that's not the right reason. But, you know, if you find that one job that really fits for you, then go for it. If it, yeah. if it is out there and you have to move back, then by all means. But if that job that you're looking for is here locally, if it's something a lot more, you know, like feasible, doable on your end, and then go for it. Either way, you're going to be in a relationship. So that's the one thing that, you know, you can really look forward to here.
Okay. So that's supportive. And yeah, the job, I can work it out here. But I could also go back east and keep, and we're talking about the new job. So,
right.
Yeah. Either one, I can be wherever. But if I get this new job, the home base is linked, but they have an office here. So you think new job is definite? I mean, I've interviewed already, but I'm in the waiting period. Does it look?
Hearing that, I'd like to get an offer.
I haven't got an offer yet, but the interview was just about 4 days ago.
Okay.
So.
Well,
yeah.
Any job offers right now would not be a great idea just because we're in Mercury retrograde and that's not a time that you want to do something new, like start a job like that. You can after the fact, you know, in like another like 2 weeks or so, absolutely, then by all means. So I do think that, you know, you've got the potential there, but, you know, just this week, like right now is just not time.
Yeah, exactly. I thought about Mercury retrograde and my actual plan was to not start until maybe mid-October. I just have to wrap up some things on the job that I'm on. But the job I'm on feels very, it's still in the same industry, but what's happening is there's some negativity that I'm feeling, maybe because of my experience and my age, and it's not just me, but feeling overworked, pushed to train the younger people and feeling like, oh, they want to send the older people out to pasture. And I'm nowhere near, I mean, age-wise, I'm ready for retirement, but psychologically and financially, no. I still need another 15 years or so.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I'm hoping to end the job that I'm on, basically. It feels negative.
Yeah, and this job itself, you know, it's not really like it's something that's just challenging, and it is a right now thing that you're really going through that, and that's going to be, I want to say, for like the next year or so. So like, well, as you get ready to retire, you might start to notice that, you know, just the general feeling behind I'm working, it's not the same feeling that you had in the past or even, you know, like a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
You know, it's almost like you're just going to feel so turned off from the work world itself that it's so broken and disgusting that I want nothing more to do with this. I don't even care. I just want out, you know, like, and that's very simply because you've got this influence, like you were, this pointer is right now dealing with Meridian Mars. That's me and my work, my jobs and what I do. And then you see that these orange boxes, it comes up to this Hades right there on that pointer. So it's kind of like, it's just going to bring ugliness and confusion with that Neptune energy with any company that you work with, that Cupido there too. So this is you working in that influence. It moves kind of slow. So it's about 1 degree per year-ish. And, you know, you're just going to be going through that. So as you get ready to retire, you're just going to feel like that. It's just getting worse. And if it does feel like that, it's not because you're crazy. It's because it's actually written out and supported by your chart scientifically. There's, like, actually a scientific fact that, you know, that this is a thing, an influence that I will feel. So don't get down on yourself about that with the work thing, that the environment or that the company that you work for just seems kind of yucky. There are better work opportunities, and most importantly, you have a special friend coming down the horizon. So I think that's the real thing to look forward to.
Wow. Yeah. And I have been feeling like that the past few years, absolutely, about work. Yeah. It's just the whole corporate thing just turns me off. I have other interests, but, you know, not quite that I could 100% support myself, but I think about it. So, well, that makes a lot of sense. I like this astrology. It's interesting.
Yeah, okay. For sure. It's great to have you on the show, Robin. Brett, is there anything else you'd like to add?
No, that was very helpful.
Come on over.
All right.
Okay, perfect.
Thank
yeah,
you.
Robin, be sure to subscribe, like, and share, and give us a call back and let us know how it turns out.
I will. Thank you. Bye.
We'll catch up with you soon. Take care. Until next time. Okay, and we are going to take our next caller here. Just a moment. Let me clear the screen. Great. We're going to jump off to area code 530. Hi, you're on the Uranus Half the Show. May I have your name and date of birth?
Hey, it's Sherry, 411-73. I have the time if you need it.
Sherry. Okay, I got you in here. 411-73, and you were born at 4:57 p.m. in Covington, Louisiana?
That's it, yeah.
Great, I got your birth data here. Now, Sherry, would you like a general reading today, or do you have a question about an issue?
I had a question. I'm kind of in a life transition. I was wondering if you could look at the chart and see if you see anything breaking, or what do you see as far as coming up? I'm looking to make a move, but it almost feels like it's connected to something else. I'm not really sure. New phase
okay,
so in my
take
life.
A look at that. Perfect, yeah. Loretta, what you got? Take it away.
Okay, Sherry. You're right about the transition. You've got some things happening, that, and unfortunately, it's not going to be an easy, well, it how do I say
I can't
it
hear
be
you.
Easy if it was,
hello?
You can't hear me?
Yeah, you're fading in and out.
Okay.
Yeah, Loretta, your audio is cutting in and out.
Can you hear me better now?
There you are, yes.
All right. Okay, so where was I? Hang on, let me grab you again, Sherry. There you are. All right, so what I was getting was that you've got things coming in into your world. It just may not feel comfortable, whatever it is it's pertaining to. It may not be that which you'd want to deal with, or to make the best transition possible, you would want to do. So you may struggle with it a little bit, even though it wouldn't necessarily be difficult to do. It may be difficult for you because of who or what it pertains to. So having said that, I have to also say you need to go through it. You really should, because honestly, it really will create the best type of life case scenario for you, and it will also give you everything that you ever hoped you could change. It'll give you the power and the tools to do exactly that. So the other thing I get about this is because it's something that is a necessity for you, I guess we'll say that, a necessity for you, it's not going to go away. It may change. You may decide over time that it's not as difficult as it used to be, maybe, but you'll always have the opportunity there. It's not going to go away. It's going to create.
Is this a career you're talking about?
No.
Career?
This is more a life. About like how you lead your life, who you lead your life with, who you allow in your life, what you allow to have happen with you, around you, to you, what you do.
Okay.
I mean, the whole epiphany style 9 yards of, oh, that's never going to happen again, and I'm going to see to that kind of thing.
Right.
And it's already built up to the point to where it's not just noticeable, it's in your face, like, do something with me. So it's something that you, like I said, if you don't take care of it now, if you choose not to look at this or deal with it or whatever this may be, it'll be back. It just may not be easy. It won't be easy, but
okay.
It'll be worth it, every bit of it. Every bit of it.
Okay.
Now, maybe Ernesto can give you a better bullet point on time frame and what that pertains to, what that may entail.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Now, I'm just curious, Sherry, would you agree or say that the person that you're, I want to say that you're calming about a person in mind in particular, like in the back of your mind, you're hoping that I'm going to bring up somebody, a character in your life, one of the characters in your life story. So just curious, does this, the reason why you're calling it, does it all have concern like an ex or somebody who was abusive or difficult, we'll say?
I don't have a person that romantic or anything like that, but I have cleared people out of my life that were extremely abusive.
Yeah.
And that kind of resonated with what she was saying earlier, where I don't allow certain things and people around me anymore, and I'm very strict about my energy now.
Right. I get
and
the
right
sense
now
that,
I'm
like,
in this phase where I don't know what the next part of my life looks like, and I really need to make a move. And I'm not sure what's going on there. I wanted to see if the stars showed anything to you.
Well, I think you are going to move, and you're probably going to move far, like out of state, not close to where you are currently. The reason I say that is because we're asking a question about, you know, where is Sherry out in the world today? That's the big question, right? Where is your soul? And what we see on that green dot that I have on our YouTube stream, it comes up to this Apollon planet two times, and also has that midpoint of your Aries Pluto. So this is you in change. So like your life is in stasis, it's in flux, everything is moving and, you know, just shifting constantly, everything about you. And you're so, in a sense, you're like in a healing period of life, you know, of after some, you know, some separations from people that were not healthy for you, that, you know, that there, and there was probably a lot of, you know, I want to say volatile anger in all of this from, you know, not only from their side, also for yourself, that, you know, like that, the personal transformation of, I don't have to put up with this BS anymore. Like it took you this long to come to this final stage in life to say, okay, so I'm worth it. You know, like I'd rather be alone than around bad company. So you like now that you know this lesson and you've gone through this, you know, you're ready to start this new chapter in your life. And I think that that's going to take you to someplace else, you know, a totally different location. Where in particular? Now that's, you know, that's a little bit of a different question. That's a separate analysis. Veretta might have some things here, but what I can tell you based on your chart, when we look at where you are for this, let's get lucky. Let's hope we get lucky and have some domestic stuff here, because a lot of this is usually pretty obscure. So like, let's see, you've got Hilo, Hawaii. That would be someplace that would be good for you. If you're going to look state-wise, otherwise you would be looking at New York, and you'd also be looking at Trenton, New Jersey. Those would be the locations that you would be looking at moving. Veretta, I don't know what you pick up on your end, but I don't feel that Sherry's move is going to be all that close. Do you agree with that?
I do. Yeah, I do agree. And I think that she's headed due west. So where did you say you are, Sherry, right now?
I'm due west. Cali.
You are due west?
I am in the west.
In Cali?
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So you're going to go, if he said Hawaii, I'd go to Hawaii. I mean, you're going to go away. You're going to go far enough away that you won't feel repressed, because there's no kind of past that's going to go with you, unless you bring it up, you know, unless you say whatever it may be. But I feel like the leftovers of your life originally is what you're going to reap the benefit of. So it would be wherever it is that you would go, that you would find that kind of, support. Yeah, I guess support from whoever it is that you find, and wherever it is you go. It's either going to be someplace you know already, or you have contacts. You may not know the place, but you know people in it.
Okay. That's good.
Yeah. It feels really good. Whatever it is, it feels really good.
Any time frame coming up for you?
On a move?
I feel, yeah, the move itself is a variable. Now, I don't know, Ernesto, what do you get on that?
No, I'm taking a look. Let me take a look at a few things here. So, no, not that color. This I use this color coding system. It just kind of helps me to figure out, you know, where everything is and where it falls in your chart. So let's just run this real quick. Great. Now, I do think that the move is close, you know, like it's probably within the next 12 months, but let's run this here for sure. And then I can definitely tell you, let's see where this one is. That's the big one. Now, here's the black. Got it. And we're going to do like this. Okay. So when does this get to about 12 degrees? Let's find out. Oh, no, I don't have that ephemeris. That's why. Okay, so where are we right now? Let's just guesstimate this. So that's about 216. If I advance this by a month, what happens? Aries, Saturn, got it. Okay. So it's moving a little bit the opposite direction. Okay, so it's 2657. Okay. All right. So you're probably looking, I want to say, by right around the first of the year that's going to be the time. And it's going to be cold when you do that. And I do want to say that you will be around water. Like this is someplace that you're going to have to fly to. So like Hawaii definitely is someplace that you're going to want to consider.
Well,
I don't
somebody
know how
kept saying Malibu before, and I just thought that was too wild. It's too wild. Really?
Well, I mean,
I don't know.
Hawaii.
That's why you guys
Hawaii
have seen beach,
crazy.
Maybe. I don't know.
All I can tell you for sure is that water is definitely going to be involved wherever you go.
Okay. Fair enough. Fair enough on that.
And you'll probably have to fly there. So that's okay. Going to be wherever you're moving to, pack light. You know, you're not going to be taking a lot with you.
Okay.
So, and this is going to be coming right around the first of the year. So, and I think that the transition will be smooth and it's going to be a lot of what you're really kind of looking for and haven't gotten out of life in a while.
Awesome. That makes sense, guys. Oh my goodness. Thank you.
Yay. Okay, great. Well, yeah, Sherry, we're so glad that you called the show today. Be sure to give us a call back in the future and let us know how it turned out.
Awesome. Have a good Sunday.
Thanks. You too.
You too.
Until next time. Take care. Okay, and that is everybody for the show here today. We're probably going to close this out a little bit early, but before we do that, let's have a conversation about some of the things that we were talking about recently the other day when we met up. So one of the things that we often preach here on the show is that, you know, you really have to do the work, and we believe in that there are no shortcuts and that we don't do the whole new age thing that you know, that you can suddenly become an astronaut, even though the odds are all completely stacked against you, that, you know, that you have to work within the matrix or parameters that you're given in life. That's called your birth chart. That's what I look at. So when you ask a question, I'm always trying to find the formula that correlates with it. So that way I can give you like what we would expect that story to look like based on the other information that we have here. So, you know, but that's not necessarily to say that you can't have the things that you want in life that, you know, just aren't there. It just means that you have to do the work to manifest those things. So I have to change myself to manifest those things in the outside world. You know, like if I want to be a meth addict, then I would imagine that my external world is probably not going to look very great. And I may not have, you know, like all of my teeth, for example. Well, what do you expect? Because I chose to be a meth addict in this instance. So my external world is going to reflect that. So if your internal world is, you know, really focusing on like positive change and, you know, like let's say you're going to the gym and taking care of yourself and you're really getting that whole self-care piece down, then yeah, your body's going to reflect what you are doing because you're doing the work. So that's what we say, you know, like do the work. There are no shortcuts. It doesn't mean that you can take diet pills and that suddenly you're going to look great. That's not the way it works. If there were shortcuts in life and we could sell them, believe me, we'd be millionaires because there's definitely a market for that kind of stuff. But my quick PSA to everybody tonight is, you know, when we give everybody readings here on the air and we say that this is what it's looking like, remember that that's just because that's what it looks like based on your own actions. That can all totally change, because if you decide to take the low road when we're reading your chart as the high road, then you're going to get the low road manifestation. So that's why this astrology is so difficult to work with in an automation sense, like to do it like a naked cadaver in a lab under a microscope. You know, like you can't really do it in that sense. We have to ask probing questions to find out how the chart is resonating. Otherwise, we don't understand, you know, if this is a good or a bad person. You know, like my chart is great for somebody who could be a killer, to be honest. But because I have such a sense of God in my life, and that was introduced to me very young, then we know that my chart looks way more at something like metaphysics than using knives to hurt people. So those are two opposites or two extremes of the same energies. So it's really very interesting, and that's why you always have to ask those probing questions in something like Uranian astrology. Whereas, you know, like in the word standard, astrologers say that, well, we're going to talk about this and 12 houses and give all of these opinions and everything. You don't even really know if that's a real person. My teacher, Arlene Kramer, she gave the famous example of she was talking at some conference and she said, now, what do you think about the chart that's on the board? Everybody in the room wanted to play how many astrologers does it take to screw in a light bulb? And they all had their own opinions and viewpoints about what did and didn't work on the chart and what it represented and meant. And it was this big, long conversation, and that lasted for more than an hour. Finally, she says, okay, so this chart is my dog. And she said, this is the importance of why you ask probing questions to the client before you even start the reading. Because if we don't know how this chart is resonating, then, you know, how are we able to even read the person at all? So that's an important step here and I love that example that she just chose her dog's chart and everybody got all fired up about it.
That's a great story to have.
Yeah. From the perspective of like metaphysics, how does all of this sort of work for you in your day-to-day life?
Well, the metaphysic aspect I understand entirely now. You know, it works with energy. And so because I can basically, thing has a pulse, if you will, because I can track anything that I need to know, I find somewhat of a comfort in having that kind of information on a day-to-day basis. Whereas prior to, when I had a life and I did the whole mom thing and family thing, and I would agonize occasionally over things that once I ingrained myself to know that I had the answers to whatever I needed, I wouldn't need to worry. Unless that's who I was and predisposed, life was a lot easier for me. I wasn't in fear. I had no fear. I had no anxiety over what was to come on a day-to-day basis. Now, to be fair, I have to also say that resonates more on a faith-based challenge, and it took me a while to get there, based on what I knew and what I experienced. However, like I said, now that I know I can get the answers I need in the form that I need them and can hear them, life is easier for me all the way around.
But what
it took
happened?
30 years to get there. Well, it wasn't just a one thing. It was a majority of things. You know, I got to the point where You liked one of the stories that I used to tell. When I finally realized that being metaphysical doesn't mean you're spiritual. And people didn't know that. They assumed that just because you could read or you could heal or you had some type of insight that you were, you know, all-knowing. Oh, no. That was the first thing I learned, was that is not the truth in any case. People are people, and they're here to learn just like everybody else. So through my multiple experiences of having spirit manifest, validate, correspond, show me, teach me things that I didn't know, I was able to learn. Eventually I could kind of what, get a theme, get a program, understand somewhat of what I was doing and dealing with. And so it was through multiple experiences, multiple life experiences, you know, that taught me, A, you don't, you being metaphysical, learning to understand the aspects of metaphysical component, quantum physics, has a little bit of a responsibility, but not a daunting, like, oh, my God, that's so pressing. You know, why would you do that to yourself? Well, I wouldn't. But when you do know things you can't unknow, then you have a responsibility or a choice to move forward. So what happened for me was when I started getting answers, it started making me understand that the things that people thought aren't real, and I had a choice that I, because I do know, I had a choice to decide how I was then going to live my life. And, you know, doing what was right for me then made sense, because so much of the new age validation comes from, well, if I do everything right and I do all the steps and I do it appropriately in the time frame and blah, 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 then what I want should happen. No, that isn't the way it works. You have to pursue, you have to learn, but if it's not in your picture, in your game, then it isn't going to happen. And I don't care how much you believe, whatever you believe. Spirituality, like I said, metaphysical doesn't mean you're spiritual, and spirituality doesn't mean you know how to create anything other than a connection to your source. And therefore, what I learned through my life, I could apply in then my teachings and my ministry through my church. I was able to help other people understand through my experiences all along that, well, yes, if you do listen, spirit will talk. If you do need, spirit will give. If you do allow, it may happen. But there's a lot of priority to people being first and entitled and privileged and deserving, and that's where they trip themselves up. So what happened for me, I'll give you one example of this story. When I first had the biggest epiphany that I couldn't just sit at a table and do reading anymore for public, I was sitting and I had my table set up, and I was sitting in a 10,000 square foot retail space full of books and incense and metaphysical RS, if you will, and other psychics. There were about four or five other psychics, and it was meant to be and made to be a very competitive environment by the owner. It wasn't comfortable at all. And I was really getting to the end of my line anyway, and I knew it. But this lady sat down with me, and she said, I know I only have 30 minutes. Or she said, I know I have a whole 30 minutes, but I only have one question. She said, does my husband know I'm cheating on him? And within a beat of my heart, looked at her, took a breath, picked up my cell phone, which was sitting right there next to me, picked up my cell phone, looked right at her, and I said, I don't know. What's his number? Let's ask him. And I knew in my brain right there I had to do more with my ability to read versus just sit there and go day in and day out on a, you know, a treadmill, if you will, a psychic mill, if you will, answering these type of questions. I couldn't do it anymore. And the validation for me, like someone, well, that was just your experience, that was your opinion, yes, but there have been things that I could not just base my opinion on. And I'll give you one short other little thing. Way, way long time ago, years and years ago, before I ever realized that I was anything or anybody, I was going down the road, California, Highway 80, it's the road between Sacramento and Reno. Going to Reno, I had my 13-year-old daughter, my husband at the time was driving, going over the pass. There's a pass on our summit that you have to go over, and this, on the side of the road, this man was walking with his little girl, and I didn't, you know, what do you don't think of anything about that, something like that. I was going down the road, we were all chatting, and all of a sudden, this guy pops up with this little girl walking alongside the road holding his hand, and I got this undying sense of devotion and love toward him from her. And the minute I tuned into that feeling, that emotion brought me the information of him throwing her in traffic on the highway. And I melted down. Like, oh, my God, why would he do that? And I was just really going on and on. Oh, I can't believe why that's so sad. Why? I'm just, what should I do? What should I do? And my husband at the time looks over at me and says to me, can you shut the up? You are scaring this out of your daughter in the back seat. And I look back and I was. She was like totally panicked. She didn't know what to do. My mother is having a freak out about a guy walking alongside of the highway. Oh, my God, she's lost it. We go to Reno. We do our thing hours later to have lunch, the whole nine yards. Hours later, we come back that road. Sure enough. And I had totally forgot about it until we turned the van on the highway. And on the other side where we'd been coming were EMTs, mortuary, highway patrol, red tape, news teams, the whole nine yards. And, oh, my God, something did happen. So now I am freaking out. I mean, now I'm really freaking out. I make my husband pull over the side of the road the minute we can, off the freeway, which the next exit was Truckee. I went and found a phone. I picked up the phone and dropped my dime. I called dispatch. I said, I seen a guy on the side of the road with a little kid, and I think he hurt her. And she said, yes, ma'am, he killed her. And I lost it right there. Well, after I finally got my breath back and I started talking again, and I realized I'm still on the phone to the dispatcher, and she says, how did you know him, ma'am? Oh, I didn't know him. I didn't know him at all. I didn't know either of them. I was just going alongside the road. And now I hear myself, as I'm saying this out loud to someone, I just going alongside the road, and I saw that he was going to hurt her. Excuse me, ma'am, can you give us your phone number and information? Oop, wrong, too much information, Beretta. So I give her my phone and my fax, and I get on down the road, and I get on home, and it's on the news. He did exactly what I saw, threw her out in the traffic and killed her. And I'm on the phone to my mentor going, oh, my God, I don't want this. I don't want this. And he said, the first thing out of his mouth was, Vireta, I didn't give it to you. This is your ability, but you had this experience to learn that you needed to control it. This is not a fun and game kind of thing. This is a serious thing that you will need to learn how to use. And so long story short, that very incident created the need in me. That was long before I sat in the store, long before I did any kind of meditation or any kind of growth. I was already in the process of doing a sort of type of enlightenment enhancement type of thing, but I never went into it to learn it, to do anything of this sort. I just was told I could, so I thought I would develop it because I should, and I did, and now I have. But I have 40 years of experience like that, like those very things, 40 years of experience to validate to me and anybody else that I would teach should they want to listen and learn to know who I am and my caliber of person, that I don't embellish, I don't need to, I don't make things up, I don't have to. My life has been very full. It continues to be, and I don't imagine it'll change anytime soon. So I just share facts. And I share facts with the thought that I hope people know that if it can happen to me, which is a nobody, it can happen to them. They just need to be aware, and they need to know how to listen. And when you listen, you will understand spirit does provide the tools that you need, that by which you chose before you ever got here to utilize to do your study or your mission or your lesson or whatever it may be. And that you can get through life without a lot of agony. And that's what it taught me. The lack of fear, the lack of worry, the lack of anxiety. Yeah, I still have emotion. Yeah, I still get cranky. Yeah, I still am a human being that has to abide by those laws. But I have also a philosophy that carries me now, and it has carried me for a very long time, and it needs to, because I am here to create change or provide difference. And I have, and I know that that matters. And you do the same thing too, Ernesto. You are providing choice for people should they know how to do what they need to do, should they know how to utilize the tools that they're going to be given, and then given free choice to know that, yep, that's going to make it, you're going to go, it'll be okay, then they won't stop. Then they go out, then they pioneer. I call myself a spiritual cheerleader because I can sit on the guidelines and I can cheer all day long and let you do it for yourself, which is the way it's supposed to happen. And I have no recourse in having to reiterate to people time and time again constantly what they need to remember to do, because we forget. We get caught up in the human, like I said, the human. I know that doesn't give you a precise answer, but it gives you one or two of the kind of things that I have hundreds, of examples of, and maybe someday I'll even write a book, but it'll be something that people can understand. It happens to anyone. It can happen for you. It can happen by choice. It can happen by design. It's just a matter of learning to listen to spirit and doing what you're supposed to, because it's right and because you can, not because you're going to get a reward. There's my answer to that.
Okay. All right. So now here's a question. So this is sort of difficult because, you know, we're supposed to be come from a place of empathy and love and support and all that kind of stuff. But at what point are we able to just sort of say, yeah, I don't think this is going to be a good fit?
Well, if you're looking at it from a fit perspective, then you're probably not going to see a lot of things that feel good to you. If you're looking at it for a necessity perspective, then you're going to deal with whom that person may be as long as you need to and then move on. But having been said that, there's your answer. You need to understand also there's a thing called divine indifference. And you don't have to be, you don't have to take it personal. You don't have to be mad or get pissy about it. You most definitely have the right to protect yourself. You have the right to make things happen in the most beneficial, fluid, comfortable manner possible. And so when you find someone that just isn't right for you, it's okay. It's okay to actually walk away from that and be happy, terminate or sever that connection in a positive manner without making ill feelings or ill will, and just walk away. When we don't resonate at a vibration that people resonate when they go through life in a manner that does not feel appropriate to us, we can't function well. But they may have a point in our life. So we need to take a look around. We need to be able to say, okay, this doesn't feel good, and I'm going to do it as quickly as possible so I don't be around this person any more than I need to. But you're not just going to pull the plug because it's uncomfortable and it wasn't a good fit. You're going to pull the plug because whatever was done and was necessary is over, and you don't have to do it anymore.
I'm speaking more about, like, as a metaphysician, as a provider, you know, like, see, here's the difference between me and other astrologers. Astrologers will continue to take your money and just blow all kinds of smoke and mirrors and play that game with you to talk about the crappy relationship that, you know, when are you going to get in that, you know, whereas I'm just going to be the person that'll tell you straight up, yeah, so it doesn't look like that's going to happen, or you can have that, yes, but it's going to require ABC set of actions on your end. And I'm not even really sure if you're going to like the end result. Like, at a certain point, I'll just cut off the gangrenous wound and I'll just be upfront and direct and say, like, you know, look, I'm sorry, I can't do this for you. I'm it's just not capable. It doesn't fit in my schedule. We're just not a good fit for each other, whatever the case may be. But other astrologers will just continue to lead you along and take your money, because that's just the level of spiritual bankruptcy that we have in this world, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Like, our perspective and what we do, that whole divine indifference, there's a point when you just say, you have to walk away from it. Like, there's that client that always comes back and says, give me a free reading. Like, just tell me what's happening in my future. And we tell them, and then they don't pay attention. And then they come back to us three or four weeks later and say, now, why does my life suck? And that's just only conversation you ever have with them is, why does my life suck? And then they pay you only to vent. And it's like, at this point, you need a therapist, not a psychic.
Right. And that's really the bottom line right there. How bad do you need the money, and how willing are you to hear them vent? Because there are certain people that really aren't even psychic. They just want the money, and they're going to tell you whatever they think you want to know. Well, we don't work like that. We're not going to work like that. We have integrity. So basically what will happen is you'll get those Klingons that want to know. And they want to know because they know you know the right the answers, or they know that what you get is legitimate. And they're hoping to God this time they're going to say something different. But they're willing to pay you, even though you say no, it's not going to be different. It's going to be the same thing over and over. Now, after a while, yes, it gets redundant. But you really have to ask yourself, you know, what is this person benefiting and what am I benefiting? Am I open for business because I'm needing the income? Yes or no? No, then I'm not open for this individual. Yes, I'm going to take their money and I'm going to give them what I hope they need, whatever that may be, even if it comes from me, the same thing they've heard 100 times before, maybe just in a different manner. And this time they get it. You never know. You really have to be conscientious about the quality of time that you're willing to spend, regardless of the money. So like I said, if you're hard up for money, you're hanging a shingle, I'm open for business, so come on in here, I know, then you're going to take their money and you're going to give them the answer. Eventually, they're either A, going to quit calling you, or it's going to happen the way they want it to, and they'll continue to be hook, line, and sinker on your doorstep waving money. But if you don't need the money, and you don't need the time disruptions, then the answer is no. Then you're not going to schedule them anymore. And you're not also going to cross the line of taking them on as a friend, because that's the wrong answer anytime. Now, you may make friends out of your clients because you have them for so long that you like the caliber of person they are. You know, they're nice, they're smart, they're funny, whatever. And then you have to quit charging them for readings. If you initiate in a relationship with someone, point that you know them hook, line, and sinker, every nook and cranny, you really don't have any right charging them. You need to just know that they crossed the friend zone. This is going to be the person that you help out now and then, and there's not going to be money exchanged at any given time. It's just that you really enjoy their friendship and they give something back to you. And that's the equal exchange, equal energy exchange.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise,
yeah.
Pull the plug on them and just say no.
Yeah, and this is actually what led me to be an astrologer, believe it or not. I was the person who kept asking about that crappy relationship. And I went to, I don't know how many different psychics. You know, I was what you would call an oracle abuser. I kept going around until I got the message that I wanted to hear. Unfortunately, nobody said that message that I wanted to hear. Not what I needed to hear. Because, of course, I was never going to pay attention to the message that actually needed to be rendered, of course, because that's just the way that life goes. Only what I wanted to hear. So since I never got that, you know, it was just many years later, I just thought, okay, so this person who I paid all of this money to said that they were like this psychic astrologer, and they gave me this piece of paper that has like 12 houses, and it's not even a very good chart. You start to see through all the veneer after the fact once you become trained and you realize that the person you went to was really a fraud, and that there is no such thing as psychic astrology. That's called straight up bad astrology is what that is. So it just got too confusing, and you know, they always wanted to talk. I always wanted to talk about the same crappy relationship, and you know, they kept, you know, stringing me along. They kept taking my money because, of course, they needed to make a business. You know, they need to pay their bills to keep their lights on. Meanwhile, I'm lovesick, and I'm starting to see my therapist 2 times a week. Before I know it, I'm seeing my therapist 3 times a week, and then I realize that now I'm just venting for no reason because every single little kernel of emotional attachment that I can get, I cling on to. And boy, I really milk that for what it's worth. And then after the whole process was over, I realized, you know, all of that was really very unhealthy. And I probably, if this allegedly psychic astrologer, if she would have just told me, you know what, Ernesto, I really think you should just see a therapist, or you should work with somebody else, you know, like that would have been helpful information to get go through it in that context, as opposed to continuing to, you know, just charge me for something to string me along, because that's what so many people are good at. So that's actually what led me to become an astrologer, was I know what you're telling me is not true, and it obviously wasn't because it didn't come to pass like the way that she had said. So let me teach myself how to do this so I can prove you wrong. And that's why we're here today.
Right. Right. Well, good for you. What you offer is very beneficial, so I'm so glad you did.
Yeah, when I found out that there was such a thing as like not Western astrology, I thought, I want that because this is something that nobody else is doing that's different. And now that I've been trained in this, and I'm writing message book and everything else, I'm learning that there really is nothing else like this, and that this is the best astrology that there is. Nothing compares. So like card systems, I tried getting into card systems, right, when I was younger, when I was first getting into metaphysics and divination. But there is just this huge element of we don't know. And there's an enormous variable of unknown in cardiology systems, which is what I didn't really care for. This is why I'm an astrologer, is because this is a science. It's a language. It's very literal. It's just, words on a page, and I can make sense out of it. There is a method to it, but I found that a lot of other divination methods just didn't give you the same crystal clear clarity that I get with this lens. But, of course, everybody's different, too.
Well, I like the fact that it's so on target. I mean, it's just so much more accurate than any other astrology that I've ever. The only other thing that I've looked at is the astrocartography, the place on a map that you would go.
Right.
That's the only other one that I've really paid any type of attention to as far as the emphasis on energy. And I do know that there are times that the planets are whacked, and I feel that. I don't watch – I have a calendar that I look at, but I don't watch the calendar. However, when I start to feel like there's the energy, I go look at the calendar, find out what the heck's going on, because then that validates why I'm feeling the way I'm feeling, and I – pay a little closer attention about what I need to do. But
right, yeah. Otherwise, then it just begs the question, do you believe in astrology?
Right. So I'm glad you picked it up. It's so beneficial. And I really like doing what we do. I mean, it's interesting for you to find it.
I know you don't understand everything that's on the screen on your end, because there's a whole bunch of symbols you've never seen before and all of that. And while I do have, the guide on the scrolling guide on the left side and everything, I'm just curious, are you able to, just by looking at the chart and some of the things that I highlight, do things start coming into you on your end? Do you start hearing things?
Well, yes and no.
If you use the chart as a crystal ball.
I have never tried. I might be able to scry into that and see if it would tell me anything. But because I don't use tools, I would end up doing the same thing I do anyway, and that's just start getting random pictures and thoughts and then tune into the person individually and start running with that and forget. I'd end up not even looking at the chart anymore, but not necessarily. However, I haven't tried, so I don't really know. I don't know. I might.
You have to give it a try, because the way I always looked at it is, when I was first learning this, all of these new symbols and everything else, it's like this mythical language that's trying to express itself on a page, and it really sort of is, you know, like if you get into hieroglyphics or any of those symbolic types of languages. This is sort of what we're reading here. So I would tend to think, if you looked at this, and you used it as a crystal ball type of instrument, that stuff would probably start coming out to you. Maybe not visually so much, but I would think that, the spirit communication, that could be a way that you could use it, like how they use the planchette, with the Ouija board, that kind of thing.
Right. But like I said, I don't use tools, so that's not my go-to. The only exception to that would be if I had somebody coming through, channeling through me that knew that stuff, then, yeah, they'd be looking at a spout and days, as long as I'd open my mouth and words kept coming out, they'd probably tell you anything you want all day long. But like I said, I don't use tools. So, and I would, and even when I do try to use them, I end up reading the people. The only thing I randomly have been able to utilize to receive information from were things that, like a calendar, I can tell you what's going to happen on certain days based, again, on the impassibility of emotion. But I'm only running through that calendar for the reference of the day itself. So I think it would be, if someone does use tools, though, I'd be a way cool thing to do to see if they could bring, see if they could bring information through that way, instead of knowing the jargon literally, but just reading.
Well, once upon a time, I think when we first met way back when, didn't you use tools for a little bit? And then what happened in your career and experience that you just sort of realized, I don't need these things anymore?
Okay, so true story, that same 10,000 square foot retail space with all the psychics in it, is where I got my first public exposure to being a professional psychic. And so because I am an empath and I'm intuitive, clairvoyant, clairsentient, clairaudient, physical medium, trance, channel individual, she decided I needed tools or I didn't look real. She decided I needed to use something that people could see me actually using as a divination form. And so she told me I needed to learn how to use, and she gave me a set of cards called Trust Your Vibes by Sonia Chiquette. And it was an oracle deck. And she said I needed to learn to use that deck so I would look more professional, proficient, whatever. So it was a challenge, but what I ended up doing was I learned to use the tools, but like I said before, I ended up literally just reading the person more than utilizing the tools and just kind of saying, oh, look, the cards say da-da-da-da-da when I was actually just receiving it in my head. But I did utilize how to use the pendulum. I also utilized divining rods, tuning forks, oracle deck. I never picked up runes or bones or I Ching discs, but that was the same thing as dice, just throwing them and seeing what they would form and reading from the formation. I can scry, which is like looking in a crystal ball and seeing what's formed in there. So she told me I needed to use tools. And then after about the second year, I was carrying most of that 10,000 square foot floor with my psychic readings. And she didn't really push me. She didn't push me anymore for the show, because I had a clientele base already built up, and they knew me. They knew I didn't read or use tools or any of that. So, I mean, they knew I read, but I didn't use tools. So it wasn't such a necessity for her to mandate me to have a show for people. What happened.
It would be like, you know, if I went to a psychic fair or something like that, and I'm a scientist, I would show up, respectably in a white lab coat. That would be appropriate, you know, for me to wear. Mm-hmm. Whereas, you know, like the store owner is telling me that I need to wear a turban and some ridiculous outfit like Walter Mercado, kind of stuff.
Exactly. She told me, literally the first event I did for her was a house party. She told me I needed to dress up as a gypsy. So, like I said, it wasn't a very positive environment, but it taught me a plethora of what I needed to know about the multiplicity of people, of their character, personalities, the whole nine yards. And it also run me through the gamut of the things that I would experience there, sitting on the floor, you know, 8 hours a day, 5 days a week. And then I whittled it down to 4 and 3 days a week, but that was okay because I was busy and I was okay with knowing that I didn't have to go in there 5 days. I could still make an impact and be available.
And hopefully in the near future, we're going to be starting up some online classes for like intuitive development and all of those kinds of things. So do stay tuned for that. For all other things in Iranian astrology, be sure to check out eastrologer.tv, and you can also sign up for email updates over there. So we do have some exciting things coming up for you here in the near future, starting, I want to say, in like the next month or two. So we're looking forward to all of those new and exciting things for you. So Veretta, it was great to have you on the show. We're going to close out a little bit early today for you guys, just because we kind of got off to a late start announcing. Everything's been really crazy and insane. So we will be back with you guys Wednesday night for a 1 hour slot. That'll be from 7 to 8 p.m. Arizona or Mountain Time, depending on where you are in the country. And remember, you can get in touch with Veretta at VerettaVision.com. That'll be her personal website. I do want to thank everybody to you who's out there listening in the archives. Allison, hi there to you. I'm sure you're picking up our show someplace, and to everybody else as well. So thanks, guys. We will be back with you guys on Wednesday night for our next show. And as always, it's been real. This is the Uranus Happens Show. Until next time, take care and good night.
Good night.